Thank you for listening to Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills. At Crossroads, our mission is to be the church by sharing and showing the love of Christ and inviting others to be recipients of Christ's love. Now here is this week's message from Pastor Floyd Hughes.
Again, welcome to our Sunday celebration where we love celebrating Jesus. I am Pastor Floyd, and this morning we're going to finish our series of the seven I am statements of Jesus, even though it took us like 10 weeks to get through. And as we're due, we're going to end our series also partaking of communion, because that is the way that Jesus has this conversation with his disciples, the way that conversation ends. And just a quick summary, we started a few weeks ago with the goal of understanding who Jesus reveals himself to be to humanity, because we always want to take people at who they say they are, not just listen to what other people say. I get questions all the time from people that say, didn't Jesus do this or didn't Jesus say this? And my answer is no, he didn't. I don't know who told you that. I don't know where you got that. It's not in the Bible. It's not any historical document. It's something someone made up. But here is what Jesus did do, and here's what Jesus did say. So we started by saying, or actually looking at where Jesus said that he said, I am the bread of life. And a lot of these statements he was making, I get this a lot where people say, well, where did Jesus ever claim to be God? And it would have been confusing if he walked up to them and said, I'm God the Father, because he's not God the Father, he's God the Son. So what he would do is he would make statements that only God could do or make, so they would understand, wait a second, only God did that, so then are you claiming to be God? So he claimed that I am the bread of life, I am the sustainer, and in that conversation, he equated himself to the way that God sustained the Israelites in the desert. God the Father did that, and he said, I am the sustainer, I am the bread of life, again, claiming to be God. He said, I am the light of the world, and he was equating darkness with sin and light being able to break through the darkness or break through the sin or remove the sin. And anyone who was Jewish at that time understood the only way to remove sin was to have God the Father forgive sin. So again, by proclaiming that he was the light of the world, not just that who shines God's goodness and light in a dark world, but he was the only way to be removed from sin. He also claimed, I am the gate for the sheep, and he couldn't have made this more clear. He said, I am the gate for the sheep. Some versions say the door. And he says, whoever comes through me will be saved. I mean, that's as clear as you get. Prior to that, the only way to experience salvation was to have your sins forgiven through the sacrifice of an animal. But he is now saying, I am the gate. I am the way to experience forgiveness. He also said, I am the good shepherd. And everyone in that day understood that the shepherd provides for the sheep, guides the sheep, and protects the sheep. That's why the stories of King David, when he was young and he would fight animals who were trying to attack the sheep, because that was the role of the shepherd. And so now Jesus was saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the provider for the sheep. I am the protector of the sheep. And then last week, but he also said, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection was only possible through God, the creator of life. And Jesus was saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And then last week, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the unchanging standard of righteousness, morality, and justice. I am the only way to get to God. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And he said, I am the life. Your life should be reflected, our lives should be reflected in the way Jesus lived his life. So all of these things he said, and we're going to look at the last statement today, but all of these things he said, we looked at the context in which he said them, right? So as not to be confusing, not to take them out of context, so we totally understood what he said. And when he made this last statement, and the one he's going to make today, the context was at the Last Supper, where he was trying to prepare and equip the apostles for his departure. The only people in the room were the apostles, and then Judas left prematurely. And Jesus spent that time equipping them so that they could take his message. And it didn't make sense to them then. But after his death, burial, and resurrection, they got it. And that they took that message to the world. So if you have a Bible, open it up to the book of John chapter 14. If you don't have one, there's somewhere one around you. There's some things, I'm going to put all the verses on the screen, but there are some things I want you to specifically see that are in the Bible. So you can see it for yourself and see I'm not making this up. So in John chapter 14, starting in verse 15, this is what it says. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, which we could stop right there. Because he's saying to his apostles, and by extension to us or anyone who wants to follow him, if you love him, then obey him, then keep his commands. And the next thing he says is to help us do that. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. In the Greek language, a lot of people focus on this. It doesn't just say another. It says another of the same kind. And an advocate is someone who works on your behalf. And he says, the Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And the only person, since the Holy Spirit had not fallen on them at this time, that lived with them was Jesus Christ. The one who would be in them was the Holy Spirit. And so not only was Jesus saying, hey, I just want you to understand, and making statements to show that he was God, he was also making statements to show that the Holy Spirit, he is also God. That's why we call it a Trinity. It's not three different gods. It's one God and three persons. And he said the world can't show the love of Christ. The world can't keep the commands of Christ. The world can't treat other people with the love of Christ because they don't have the Holy Spirit. But we can, and it's okay to admit, sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit to treat people the way that God treats them, right? It doesn't come second nature to us. And then jump down to verse 25, he says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And sometimes, and I hope it's not just me, sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit to say, you know what, Floyd? You can't treat that person like that. You know what, Floyd? You can't talk to that person like that. And even, you know what, Floyd? Just erase that whole comment you were about to make to that person. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's here to help us and to remind us, oh, you know what? You can't treat them like that because you need to treat them the way Jesus treated you. You can't talk to them like that because you need to talk to them the way Jesus would talk to you. You can't make that comment because that's not the way Jesus would comment to you. And it takes the Holy Spirit to do that. So then, jumping to John chapter 15, this is where he says, after making the case, and this is why we look at it in context, that we need the Holy Spirit to treat people the way God wants us to, who will remind us of all the things that Jesus said and equip us to treat people and love people the way Jesus did. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, here's the thing. I want to read this to you in the complete Jewish Bible version, because people argue about this, but even in these subtle statements, Jesus is creeping in a lot of theology. And in the complete Jewish Bible version, it's the way they would have heard Jesus say this in the language of that day. Not a significant difference, but a subtle difference. So in the complete Jewish Bible version, which uses, here's how they would have heard it in that day, in that language, Jesus would have said, I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch which is part of me, but fails to bear fruit, he cuts off. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. And I know that doesn't seem like a big difference, but a lot of people argue about this. This is where the people who claim once saved, always saved, or you can lose your salvation. And neither of those phrases are in the Bible. But what is in the Bible are phrases like this, where Jesus says, God cuts off anyone who is a part of the body of Christ that doesn't bear fruit. Now, he's not talking to atheists or non-believers because they're not a part of Christ. Jesus said, anyone who is a part of me that doesn't bear fruit, then God the Father comes along and just cuts it off, says, hey, this is not good. But then he also said, God prunes anyone who is a part of the body of Christ that is bearing fruit. And the good thing is he doesn't say how much fruit they have to bear. I mean, if you're just making baby steps and your walk as a Christian, then what that word prunes means is to clean or to trim off. I don't do a lot of gardening, so this might not be the best analogy. That's why I'm holding a microphone instead of a tree branch. But God comes along and he cuts off those pieces so that it can continue to bear fruit. If there's even a little bit, just a little bit of fruit that you're bearing in your Christian walk. And when he says, everyone says, well, what's the fruit? Everything he just talked about, that's why we looked in context. The things that the Holy Spirit keeps us or allows us to do, keeping the commands of Jesus Christ. Anytime I have to treat people the way Christ did, anytime I have to respond or talk to people the way Christ did, anytime I have to look at things that, oh, I used to love to do this, but I know God says, thou shalt not. Even though the world is saying, do it, do it, do it, then I need God's Holy Spirit to help me take a step away. And every single time that we take a step away towards Christ, then God will come along and trim off a little bit more so that we can be more fruitful. So that we go from making baby steps to making adult steps to making big steps. Now, here's the thing. Pay attention. Because for some of us, the things that God cuts off may differ from person to person. For some of us, God may be cutting off a little bit. Hey, you need to let go of that history that you're holding on to of when you messed up with this or you messed up with that or when you did this wrong thing or hurt this person that we've been carrying. And God says, hey, you know what? I'm just gonna cut that off so that you can make bigger steps in the right way, with the Holy Spirit helping you. For some of us, it may be things that we're worrying about, and there's a lot to worry about in going on in our culture today, and we're carrying that with us, and we're so worried that we can't make the proper steps. So then God comes along and says, you know what? I'm just going to cut off a little bit of that worry so that you can make bigger steps. And here's the hard part, and I wish I had more time to go into it, but for some of us, God is cutting people out of our lives because they are holding us back and we can't make the proper steps, because every time the Holy Spirit says, yeah, this is the right way to act and the right way to treat people, these are the people that says, no, do all the wrong things, curse them out, hit them, smack them, bada, 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 bada. And for some of us, God is coming along and saying, hey, you know what? How about we just cut that person out of your life? You don't have to hate them. You don't have to send them a message saying, thus saith the Lord, I am done with you. But you could just say, you know what? I'm not going to spend as much time around that person anymore. And God's just going to trim and trim and trim and cut them out of your life, right? So I'm going to read this again because this is important. Jesus says, every branch which is part of me but fails to bear fruit, he, meaning God the Father, cuts off. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, meaning he trims it or cleans it, so that it may bear more fruit. And here's the thing he told them. Right now, because of the word which I have spoken to you, you are pruned. In other words, he told them, hey, just because you're hearing this That's part of that pruning process. From the Word of God, and just some, I'm not saying that's anyone here because I don't know what's going on in your life, but if you're sitting here and thinking, oh, that's why God cut off these people from my life. Yeah, that's God pruning you. If you're sitting here thinking, that's why God is helping me to let go of my past and those things that held me back and those wrong things, yeah, that is God pruning you. But he also says this, stay united with me as I will with you. For just as the branch can't put forth fruit by itself apart from the vine, so you can't bear fruit apart from me. And here's what he's saying. God is going to prune you so you can bear more fruit, but you need to stay connected to God. Because what's happened is a lot of people, they're like, okay, God is pruning me, I'm bearing fruit. And then they leave God over here, and they're like, I'm just going to go on with my happy life. But if those people are disconnected from God, they can't bear any fruit at all. And we just read, if you're not bearing fruit, then God cuts you off, kind of like dead weight. He's like, the word in the Greek actually kind of means useless, no longer viable, no longer operational, no longer functional. It's like when you open, I was going to say open your phone and pull out the battery, but all of our phones don't have that kind of battery. But if you open, a toy and you pull out the battery, a flashlight, and you pull out the battery, because most of those are charged too. Anything with regular batteries? If you open a microphone, there you go, and you pull out the battery, it's no longer going to work, right? It's no longer functional. And that's what God is saying. Those things that aren't bearing fruit, he cuts them off because they're no longer functional, they're no longer operational, they no longer work. And Jesus is saying, hey, even the ones that are connected, the ones that are connected to him, God's going to trim, but if you disconnect from him, then you become the thing that God's going to cut off. You become dead weight. You become that thing that's disconnected from the vine. So I'm going to wind down with this again. He says, stay united with me as I will with you, for just as the branch can't put forth fruit by itself apart from the vine, so you can't bear fruit apart from me. And he reiterates, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who stay united with me and I with them are the ones who bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can't do a thing. And the thing he's talking about, again, is bear fruit. Let the Holy Spirit remind you, obey the commands of Christ, treat others with the love of Christ, share and show the love of Christ to folks in our circles of influence. And I love this because, all right, I'm going to borrow Jax again because he's always willing. Can you come up here for a minute? Because he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. But this is key. Because he says, those who stay united with me and I with them are the ones who bear much fruit. And it's kind of like, let me borrow your hand for a minute. Kind of like, you remember when you used to walk, you can hold my hand, it's okay. When you used to walk with your kids and you'd hold your hand and they'd love to, but then they would try to run off and you're still trying to hold their hand. Because he says, I'm going to stay connected with you. God isn't going to force you. But he is going to try to stay connected with you, even when you try to run off, even when you try to turn, because he wants you to be fruitful. But if you're just willing to stay fully connected, you're going to be more fruitful. Okay, you can sit down, because I know that's making you feel awkward. But you are supposed to stay connected to Jesus. But I love that Jesus says, hey, even when you're not, even when you're trying to pull away, I'm still going to have my hand out to be connected to you. And this is one of those important conversations. I love that Jesus had this, not just on the average road, out talking to people. It was great that he had those conversations. But he had this with his apostles because he wanted them to take this message to the world. And after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, every single one of them had every reason to say, you know what? I'm just going to put Jesus over here. Because they came for their lives. They shut their businesses down. They beat them. They tortured them. I mean, they literally threw rocks at them until they were dead. But they said, hey, you know what? I'm going to stay connected to Jesus Christ. And we're not experiencing a small part of that today. We just have people that make fun of us because we go to church. We just have people that make fun of the posts that we make. I get people that all the time they tell me, oh, I can't believe in you and your sky daddy. I'm still going to stay connected to Jesus Christ. And one of the things they did after this was Jesus partook of communion with them, and he prayed for the apostles. So this is how we're going to end this series. I want to pray for all of us, and then we're going to share communion. I'm going to read these communion verses, and I'm going to ask Bill and Kevin, can you guys come up? Bill, can you grab the two glasses out of the office? And while they're doing that, I'm going to read these verses. Because in Matthew 26, it says, while they were eating at this Last Supper, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. So I'm going to break this bread. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it. Can I borrow that cup for a minute? Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now, don't hate, but we don't pass the cup to for everyone to drink. They did back then. I know there are congregations that do that today. I'm not going to those congregations, so we just do the bread and dip it in. He said, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom, which is a promise that we will be with him again if we stay connected to him. And then when they had sang a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to pray. God, I realize we have so many things that are pulling us away from you in this day and in this season. So many things that try to disconnect us from you. Some of it may be in a workplace. Some of it may be in a school. Some of it may be in our homes. Much of it online, which we are embedded with and just gets thrown at us day after day after day. But I pray that we do what the disciples did and that we stay connected to you. And we acknowledge that your body was broken for us and that your blood was shed for us and that you will soon come back for us and we will be reunited with you for eternity. And for that, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to ask you, as you feel led, to come up and partake of communion. And if perhaps you're feeling like maybe now is not the time to do that, maybe just stay where you are and think about maybe praying and doing some business with God. And after that, we're going to sing a song and we'll be done. God, we realize we all walk in here every single Sunday with a lot of weight, a lot of baggage, a lot of things that we've done, whether it be months, years, or even just days ago, that are weighing on our heart. We pray that you would prune those things, trim them, so that we can be fruitful and doing the work that you have called us to do. We pray that if there's any of us who are carrying that weight, that you would just prune it from our hearts right now. We pray that you make anyone who just needs to know how much you love them aware of the depths that you went through to bring them out of that sin, that you sent your son to die for them because of your love for them. We pray that you make that aware to them right now. We pray that any who would or any who need to would accept and believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead to show the depths of his love for us. And we pray that anyone who accepts that and believes that would just acknowledge it in their heart
so that they can become a part of your family, a part of your kingdom. And as your word says, you fill them with the advocate, the Holy Spirit of truth, to help them keep your words and live it out. And for that, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.